The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Well, good morning, you guys. Good to see you here. Thanks so much, Emery and Amelie, for leading us in worship. They were sort of a pinch hit because Eddie was supposed to be here with us, and so they came in and filled in for Eddie. Did a great job. Thanks so much, you guys. Good stuff. All right. Go ahead and give him a hand. Yeah, good job. So you're probably wondering why I'm not wearing a tie like Peter today. I actually thought about it. I'm like, I should show up in a tie. And I'm like, no one's going to understand what's going on. What happened was there was a typo in a text that sent out in our church group text. And Dana had said, it's going to be a good time. But she spelled it, it's going to be a good tie. And then, of course, everybody was like, do we have to dress up? And so Peter wore his tie, so good job. Actually, Max is wearing a tie, and Marcus is wearing a tie. Looking good, actually. It's a ramp up to Easter, so I think we'll be ready. All right, you guys. Well, I hope this has been a good series for you so far. We've been learning a lot about what it means to face spiritual battles, more than just looking for places to put up our dukes when it comes to spirituality, but recognizing that in our everyday life, that things are going to come up, that things are going to come our way, and we're going to have to be prepared for the battles that appear. It's not something we go looking for necessarily, but it is something that we have to contend with on a regular basis. And so today's message is called the Championship Belt. So if you watched wrestling at all, if you watched, our favorite movie, Nacho Libre, right, when it comes to wrestling, I'll have the clip for you here in just a bit, only because it's a tradition for the series, but not because it's going to add a whole lot to the message today. But the championship belt, right? In the movie Nacho Libre, he goes up against the title champion, who's Ramses, he's a pretty formidable Poe, right? The people in the streets, they give him treats, they give him candies, right? So that's the guy that he's got to go up against. Everybody loves Ramses, and he's got to go up against him. And so Ramses has the belt, and there's this big show of him, like, making sure everybody sees the belt and then holding the belt above his head. I'm going to show you that clip real quick so you can get an idea of what a big deal the championship belt is at a wrestling match. So here you go. And watch how they react to Ramses coming out. Nacho's number one fan.
Maybe we should pray. Dear Lord, please bless Nacho with nutrients and strength. Amen.
Amen.
There it is. The moment he waves the belt and everybody gets to see that he's the reigning champion. So the belt's a big deal for wrestlers. I was kind of Googling wrestling belts just to kind of see what's out there. And apparently there's a lot of different wrestling belts, but everybody that holds a title has a belt, and they're pretty impressive, pretty gaudy. It's the thing that every wrestler wants, okay? the championship belt that represents authority, it represents legitimacy, represents obviously their victories in their wrestling matches. But let's be honest, that belt really doesn't offer anything practical when it comes to the actual wrestling match. In fact, they take the belt off before they wrestle because it really doesn't do anything for the wrestler to improve his fight. But in the passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to talk about a certain belt that actually does affect our fight, our spiritual fight. And Paul says the belt that holds the Christian life together is truth. And so let's dig into this passage today and see what God has to tell us about this. Ephesians 6, 13 through 14, we'll start there and learn a little bit more about the belt of truth. It says here, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. So Father, thank you as we get ready to dive into this passage. God, as we get ready to learn what you have for us today, Father, I pray that you would speak to us, that we would know, Father, the truth, and as we're told in your word, that the truth would set us free. God, we ask that as we, again, just broach this topic of spiritual battles, Father, we ask that you would help us to be people that are armed, that are ready, and when those battles come, we're not taken by surprise. Thank you, God. Father, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Bible scholar S.D.F. Salmon said this about the Roman soldier's belt. He said, his belt was no mere adornment of the soldier, but an essential part of his equipment. It was of special use in keeping other parts in place and in securing the proper soldierly attitude and freedom of movement. So the belt that that Paul is talking about here in the Roman soldier's armor, it served a very important purpose. Did a couple of things. First, it was not technically armor, but it held the armor together. So it kept all the other pieces of armor in place. And it was the first thing that they put on before battle. It gathered the soldier's garments so that he could move freely. And fastening the belt meant the soldier was ready for action. So when a soldier was not in action, when he would sit down or when he would rest, he would take the belt off. So anytime you heard that belt buckle, that belt snap in place, then you knew that soldier was headed into battle. David Guzik explains this. He says, when a soldier sat down and was relaxed, he loosened his belt. Fastening on the belt meant preparing for action, and it put a soldier in a battle frame of mind. So it's interesting to me that Paul takes the imagery of the belt of the Roman soldier and compares it to the truth of God's word. In other words, the belt that we're supposed to wear, the thing that's supposed to make us battle ready, the thing that's supposed to allow us to be ready for action is the truth of God's word. If we don't have the truth of God's word, if we don't have that fastened around our lives, then we're not going to be prepared for the battle. Paul says it prepares the believer for the battle. And because the reality that we face is that we live in a world where truth is under attack. Truth is under attack on a regular basis. Now, you're going to find it to be true that truth of the scriptures is under attack in the sense that there are many people that don't want us to lift up the name of Jesus, that don't want us to acknowledge maybe even that there is a God and that he's sovereign. Maybe they have a God like we talked about in the on Tuesday night, in the Not My Jesus Bible study, a God that kind of, you know, is the God that you made up. That's usually the God that you hear people describe. And so people might take offense to that, and so that might be the truth that's under attack in your life. But it may not be just the truth about the scriptures. It may not be just the truth about who Jesus is. It may be the truth about anything. You're finding that today in our culture, that truth itself is under attack, whether you could call that truth spiritual or whether you would just call that a practical truth. It's still under attack today. It's very fascinating. Many people have noticed that that this modern day and age, that it's kind of compared to a book we read, well, I read in high school. You may not have read it. I doubt if it's even allowed in high schools anymore, the book 1984. But it exposed a truth that's true today, that we live in a culture that is increasingly hostile toward the truth. Half-truths, deceptive ideologies, and flat-out lies are pretty commonplace. You're going to face those every single day. So in the book 1984, if you've read it by George Orwell, it's an interesting read. It's a good book, but then it also, you'll be shocked at how much this book lines with what's happening in our culture right now. And a book that was written, you know, 50 years ago, for some reason, resembles very much the culture that we live in. There's a couple things I want to point out that are parallels. Changing the meaning of common words. This is something that you see pretty often nowadays. You see people changing the definitions of words so that when they say a sentence and they use certain words, it actually means something very different from what you traditionally thought that word meant. And they're trying to allow that definition or get that definition to be accepted by everyone. Technology that delivers content but can also monitor behavior. That was a big part of the book in 1984, and now we carry around a phone with us in our pockets that monitors our behavior, that keeps track of our habits and you know, creates an algorithm that matches all of our likes and our dislikes. And so you have something that's delivering content for us, but it's also keeping track of who we are. Attacking objective reality. 2 + 2 = 5, right? This is a ridiculous, I know you've heard about this before, but it's just ridiculous how people would say, making a statement like saying, you know, something like math is racist. And so, you know, if you can't do math, then obviously it's because you're of an inferior race or something like that. And so if that's become like actually the type of thinking that we're dealing with today. And so it's like everything that was we once held true, all of a sudden is being given a different slant, being given a different definition. And the things that absolutely are true are being challenged. Using language that's designed to silence disagreement. Saying things, wording things in a certain way where if you disagree with that and you're going against what the culture says to be true or what is popular, then all of a sudden you become the bad guy. Even if the thing that you're saying is true, you can become the evil person simply because you're not agreeing with the people around you. Erasing historical figures and their accomplishments. Man, we're seeing that so much today. You know, tearing down statues, trying to just completely erase people's accomplishments out of the history books so that, you know, there's no record of them or what they did, or changing what they did. They're actually in some places rewriting history books so that the history matches what we're thinking of today. So the type of thinking, the sort of mindset that we have today has to match with what happened in history. But it doesn't, right? Because history can't be changed. It already happened. What's true is true. And yet we see this happening all the time. Indoctrinating children against their own parents. Whoever thought we would live in a society where the people that are supposed to protect our children are actually telling our children to be dishonest with their parents, or in some ways to try to find out if their parents are doing something that they can get in trouble for. It's a pretty scary world that we live in. These are all things that happen in the book 1984. And it's almost like somebody read the book and they were like, oh, let's mimic this in society. Like, our culture needs to read exactly the way this reads. The point of all this is simple. If you control the truth, you control the people. This is nothing new. This is a tactic that dictators have used down through the centuries. People like Hitler and Stalin, they knew that if they controlled the truth, that if they put out their own propaganda and made people believe a certain thing was true, then they could control the population by what they believed. It's happening right now in Iran, right? The news media to the Iranian people, they won't let them hear what's actually going on in the world. They only get to hear what the government wants them to hear. I think that's falling apart on them, but it happens in today's society as well. You control the truth, you can control the people. But Scripture says the believer fights a different kind of battle. Look in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. It says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What is he saying? He's saying the truth of God's word, the truth about who Jesus is. This truth is the truth that tells us who we are and tells us what the world around us is like. In wrestling, a fighter who loses his footing is in serious trouble, right? If your base is gone, you can be taken down in seconds. And that's the same thing is true for us. We lose our spiritual footing as a believer, and we can easily be taken down. This is why it's so important for us to be ingrained in the Word of God, to understand what we're reading and to know what we know. The believer who's not grounded in truth doesn't stand a chance. You're not going to stand a chance in a spiritual battle if you're not grounded in truth, because Satan is always going to attack the truth. A.W. Tozer once said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Basically, what he was saying is who we believe God is going to frame our entire world. Who we believe God is going to tell us who we are. And so if what we believe about God is the truth, then we're going to know the truth about ourselves. And we're going to know the truth about every situation, the world around us as well. What you believe is going to determine how you live. So if the truth is under attack, then the believer must have a foundation of truth. Truth should be our foundation. And my friends, the honest truth is this, that truth is foundational to our faith. It enables us to discern what we hear and navigate conversations with spiritual agility. I don't know if you've ever had somebody tell you something that you didn't sound quite right, maybe about God or about the Bible, and you knew it wasn't quite right, but you didn't really have the knowledge to confront that in the moment. But the time we spend in God's word, the more time we spend in God's word, the better that foundation, the stronger that foundation in our life that's being laid. So we're able to identify when we hear things that are not true about God and things that are not true about ourselves. Matter of fact, we're encouraged to spend time in God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved to God, rightly handling the word of truth. It's not just saying, let's read the Bible stories together. And I'm not saying that the Bible stories are just stories. What I'm saying is that God wants us to understand the truth that is being taught to us, whether it's being taught to us through a story of someone's life in the Bible, or whether it's something that's being laid out for us, a doctrine that's being laid out for us. Whatever it is in Scripture, we need to pay attention to it so that we can lay that foundation of truth in our lives. Because, my friend, nothing prepares a believer for spiritual warfare like time in God's word. If you're not spending time in God's word, you're not going to be able to put up a fight at all. Bank tellers who are trained to identify counterfeit money, they don't study fake bills, right? They don't bring them a bunch of different counterfeits and different types of ways that people counterfeit bills. They might explain those techniques to them, but they make them familiar with the real thing. They spend a lot of time studying and feeling and being able to identify an actual dollar bill, an actual, well, probably not a dollar bill, but a $100 bill, right? Something that's a little higher value. They study that. They get so familiar with it. They handle it. They examine it. They learn from it. They learn every detail. So when a counterfeit appears, guess what? They can immediately tell the difference. Obviously, counterfeiting is getting way, way better. But my point is this. They spend time with the true, actual currency, and then they can identify what is untrue or what is false. And the same is true for us. Same is true for us spiritually. If you are deeply familiar with God's truth, deception becomes easier to detect. But here's the catch on this. Because the truth that we hear that someone tells us is true sometimes sounds a lot like our truth. And so sometimes we're a little bit unsure. It's like Charles Spurgeon said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. You're going to hear a lot of truth that people pose to you that is not entirely true. Something's going to be off. And it's just going to be the beginning, because if you begin to listen to something that's almost true, then the next time you hear something that's a lie, it's not going to sound so much like a lie. And you're going to get tripped up, easily tripped up. discernment only comes from knowing the truth. So Paul says we need to lay that foundation of truth in our lives. But he also shows us that truth should become a priority in our lives. So it needs to be a foundation, but it also needs to be a priority. In other words, we need to live by truth. We need to be people of integrity ourselves. Truth must be our priority. It's the first thing the soldier straps on before he goes into battle, or the belt of truth. Without that belt, the rest of the armor wouldn't function properly. And the same is true for us. Without knowing God's truth, without us being people that live by the truth, everything else in our lives falls apart. My friends, things begin to degrade pretty quickly when you're not an honest person. When you're not a person that lives according to truth, your life begins to unravel pretty quickly. You know why that is? Because you always have to tell another lie to hide the original lie you told. And the same is true when you believe a lie, when you're deceived into something. You have to hear another untruth in order for that original lie that you heard to make sense. And so your whole worldview becomes skewed, and all of a sudden you're believing a bunch of lies instead of believing what's true. In fact, you have a hard time even recognizing truth because you spend so much time believing the lies or listening to the lies. That's why we have to be people that are grounded in truth. Everything in our faith begins with truth. If we don't have truth, we don't have a faith. Here's three reasons why we prioritize truth. I would say the top three reasons, I guess. First one's this. We must acknowledge the truth about ourselves. We have to acknowledge the truth about ourselves. I'm sure you've known people that are what we call unself-aware. You know someone like that? Right? Don't look at the person next to you. Try to keep your poker face, right? But we all know someone that is just not self-aware, right? They have this different idea of what they look like and what they act like than what actually is taking place. And so you're like, man, if I could just like tell them or show them, like, that's not what everybody else is seeing, right? But the reality is that we deceive ourselves if we don't understand the truth about ourselves. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1, 8-9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we think that we're perfect, or if we think that we have it all together, we're only deceiving ourselves. It's actually pretty hard to deceive the person next to you or someone else in your life about your perfection, right? Because people can identify the things that are missing or the things that aren't quite right about you. But it's really easy for us to lie to ourselves. And in fact, the first thing that we need to do when we come to Jesus is recognize that we're a sinner. We have to have that spiritual self-awareness to be able to say, I have nothing to offer God. I'm completely worthless and I don't have anything to offer God. I'm a sinful person. That's the first thing, the first truth that we need to embrace before we can even have salvation, before we can experience God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. We have to recognize who we are. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth about ourselves. Second thing that's so important, why we must prioritize truth is we must recognize the truth about Jesus. We must recognize the truth about Jesus. Little shameless plug for our Bible study on Tuesday nights. Man, it's off to a really good start. You guys got to join us talking about all the different beliefs in Jesus that are out there and how the Jesus of the Bible is not the same Jesus that you might hear mentioned on the street. Super important for us to know. Recognize the truth about Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Super, super important. I just saw this clip the other day of a so-called pastor that was being interviewed by Joe Rogan, and he was just saying things that were absolutely not true about the Bible and about Jesus. And he was saying as if it was something that every pastor knows and every pastor would agree with him on. He was just saying it so casually as if like, oh yeah, this is what we believe. You know, and however many people, you know, several million people listening in and thinking, oh yeah, this guy's a pastor. He's not going to lie. He's an honest guy, right? Man, we are so easily swayed when it comes to what we're told about Jesus. That's why we have to go to the scripture. That's why we have to go to the Bible to be our one stop place where we're learning about our Savior, about who Jesus is. From his own words, even if we just took the words of Jesus and what he says about himself, we would be spot on about who Jesus is. And we wouldn't fall for all the lies that are out there. We need to recognize the truth about Jesus, because in our world today, people worship a cultural Jesus, a political Jesus, a motivational Jesus, right? But the real Jesus is the only way to the Father. The real Jesus is the only path that we have to the Father. And if you have a relationship with God and you want other people to also have a relationship with Jesus, you have to be able to explain to them who he is. Third reason why we prioritize truth is we must align our lives with God's truth. People are watching the way you live. You may not think that everybody's watching. You may be like, oh yeah, no one's really paying attention to what I'm doing. That's not true. The people around you, the people in your life, your coworkers, your classmates, your family members, oh, they're the worst of all, right? Not only are they watching everything you do, they never forget anything you do, right? And so they're paying attention. This is why our lives have to be aligned with the truth of God's word. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So we learn how to live this life and how to be holy according to God's word. We learn that from God's truth, from the knowledge of God. So it's super important for us to pay attention to what God's saying, to spend time in God's word so that we know how to live, so that we can be identified as a follower of Jesus by the people in our lives. See, victory in the Christian life is found in knowing the truth, not just intellectually, but it comes with aligning our lives with that truth, turning those beliefs into action in our lives. Truth has to be an uncompromising priority in our lives if we want to have any victory in our spiritual battles. My friends, the enemy works through lies. We already know that to be true. That's the enemy's mode of operation. It's lies, deception, confusion, distortion. But the believer stands firm by fastening that truth around their life. When we do that, what happens? The lies, they lose their power, right? Deception loses its influence. All of a sudden, they don't have the kind of control over us that they once did. In 1521, a German monk named Martin Luther was summoned before the leaders of the Holy Roman Empire at the historic assembly known as the Diet of Worms. I don't know why they named it the Diet of Worms. I mean, I obviously had to do more with the location than it had to do with what was on the menu. But Martin Luther stands before this council, and he had written several books that challenged corruption and the false teachings that were in the church of that day. And they were all, you know, spread out before them. They were like evidence in the court. And they asked him this simple question. They said, will you recant everything that you've written about the church? All he had to do was say, okay, I was wrong. That's it. You know, I'm you know, let me pack it all up. Give me all the papers back. And he could walk free. But Luther knew this. He knew that what he had written came directly from the truth of God's word. So after a long pause, he answered, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures, my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. He wasn't willing to change anything. Luther knew that standing for truth would cost him everything, prison, exile, eventually death. But he believed something that every believer needs to understand. And that is that truth is non-negotiable. The belt of truth is not negotiable. So victory doesn't come from discovering new truths, learning some new truth about God that no one else knows. If someone ever comes to you and tells you, oh, you know, here's something about God that the Bible doesn't tell you, you know it's going to be a lie. Everything God wants to know about himself is here in God's word. So if anybody ever says, hey, I've got extra information for you about God, It's a lie. Don't fall for it. Victory comes from standing firmly in the truth that we already know, the truth we've already been given, truth we already have in God's word. And here's the cool thing about it. So we've talked a lot about truth. We haven't necessarily talked about how, you know, a spiritual battle comes your way and how are you going to be able to put up a fight, or how are you going to be able to stand your ground? the main way that truth is going to allow you to have victory on that battlefield is that you are not going to fall for the tricks and the lies of the devil. You're not going to fall for them when you're grounded in truth. As Paul said in our passage, he said, after the battle, you will still be standing. I don't know about you guys, but I've taken some pretty big hits at times. And I'm still standing, but I'm not standing because of anything that I did. I'm not standing because I'm smarter than the next guy. I'm not standing because, you know, I was a little quicker on the draw or more studied, or I don't know. The thing is, I just spent a little extra time in God's word. Spent a little more time being familiar with who God is and what God says about me and what God says about the world and what God says is true about us. The more time you spend in God's word, the more time you spend with him, the more of a defense you're going to have when it comes to the spiritual battles in your life. So let me encourage you, if you want to remain standing at the end, you've got to snap on that belt of truth. Would you guys pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God who clearly communicates who you are to us in your word. Everything that we need to know, all the truth about yourself is available to us. So, Father, I pray that as believers, as followers of you, that we would pay attention to what you're saying to us about who you are. That we would pay attention about what you're saying to us about who we are. That we wouldn't just set aside your truth and think that maybe it's not relevant to the life that we're living today, when we know that we need your truth more than anything. Father, help us to embrace that. Maybe you're here today and sometimes you don't know what to believe about God. Maybe you hear something on the internet, comes across a reel or TikTok, and you're just like, oh, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. Don't fall for it. Even if the guy is telling you the truth, I would much rather you heard that truth from God's word than from some dude on the internet. So my challenge to you is to go to God's word. Find out what's true about God from the source, from God himself, so that you will not be deceived when those lies come. Father, I just pray for your hand of protection upon everyone in this room. They would not be led astray. They would not be deceived by the lies that they're bombarded with every day. That they will be grounded in your truth. They'll have that foundation of truth in their life, that belt of truth strapped around their waist. And the truth will be a priority that they live by. That even in their own lives, they would keep the truth. Help us to do that, Father. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be in the back if anybody needs prayer. I encourage you guys, spend time with the real thing so you can recognize the counterfeit. Can we do that? Awesome. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You thought of us before.